Hello, I'm Roger. I'm sorry to distract you from your Thanksgiving dinner, but let's face it. Thanksgiving's just a warm-up holiday for Christmas, and cranberry sauce is garbage. Speaking of Christmas, I'm here to remind you to get a head start on all your trophy tie and toy buying by going out to our Black Friday sale. Black Friday is a day invented by us, the people who sell things, to lure you, the humans who buy them, away from your families on one of the only nationally recognized holiday weekends of the entire year by enticing you with marginal discounts on products that you can buy literally anytime you want on the internet. Probably for an even better discount. But we spend millions of dollars on advertising to convince you that Black Friday is the only day you can buy any of these gift items, as if we wouldn't immediately and wordlessly take your money on any other day of the year. We've made it our mission to convince you that all the smart shoppers do their holiday trophy collecting on Black Friday. We even turn it into a competition by arbitrarily limiting the time these great bargains will be available, which is enough to turn many of you into bloodthirsty Vikings, battering and trampling each other for the privilege of paying slightly less money for some toy or small appliance that you could have easily purchased months ago on your smartphone. This is a crock pot, a product you never think about that spends 364 days a year collecting dust on retail shelves across America. And on Black Friday, you can have one for just $20, which for all you know could be a great deal. You don't know. You haven't priced crock pots recently because you don't want one. But there you go, buying it anyway. Only a fool would pass this up. And you're not a fool, are you? Because there's nothing more important than rewarding your friends and family with prizes. That's why we've gradually started kicking off Black Friday earlier and earlier to let you get the jump on all those other bargain hunters eager to go out and buy secret rewards for other people at 5 o'clock in the morning. Is 5 too late in the day for you? Worried all the good bargains will be gone by the time you get there? How about 4 a.m. or 3? Heck, we'll open our doors for you at midnight and make it seem like we're giving you an inside track to beat the crowd. And you want that, because our ad has been specifically designed to induce anxiety in you by convincing you that everyone else is shopping earlier, faster, and smarter than you. At any rate, regardless of when you show up, you'll still be one person in an impossibly massive crowd of the most stressed people you will ever encounter while being bombarded by all the bright arrows and signs telling you about the deals that we assure you are insane. It's altogether an overwhelming and unpleasant experience for everyone. We are so dedicated in delivering to you the ultimate negligible discounts on frivolous items experience that some of our locations will even open their doors on Thanksgiving Day. Our little way of saying, f*** Thanksgiving. We'll happily force our minimum wage-making teenaged employees to work on one of the only two guaranteed retail holidays of the year to make sure you get the best possible price on that exercise bike you didn't even know existed 24 hours ago. At least until we have another sale at the end of the month, like we always do, to give everyone a chance to buy all the prizes they really wanted instead of whatever you got for them on Black Friday. So we'll see you bright and early Friday morning, or maybe Thanksgiving afternoon. Hell, just put your turkey in some Tupperware and eat it on the way. It's all a question of how much you like being around your family versus how much you like buying things for them. And isn't that what Christmas is all about? Happy holidays. Hey, thanks for watching. I'm sure you'll...
I couldn't resist. It is that time of the year, isn't it? And, you know, it seems that people are just worn out. This is a different year, isn't it? Welcome to Road Warrior Radio. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all road warriors, those who esteem themselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I'm a little bit froggy again today, but we'll see what we can do. So that was kind of an homage to, though it's cracked Black Friday satire obviously kind of reminds us of the insanity that will ensue, well, has been ensuing for weeks now, but also will continue this weekend in the run-up to Monday. And so, as I keep saying, and of course, you know, the gift-giving does have a direct tie to the Saturnalia Festival. I believe Richie from Boston is doing a live stream this morning, right now, concurrently. And so check that out later, because that, I'm sure, is going to be very informative. But it, again, if you're not familiar with Saturnalia, check it out. You can search it for yourself. Look at some of the videos that Richie has made, among other folks. And you'll see what I mean. Maybe if we have time today, we'll get to some of the ties Saturnalia to this time of year, that if folks only knew, they would be sort of unsettled, I would say. But I digress. So, lots going on. I wanted to start perhaps on a happy note after that little bit of fun from the folks over at Cracked. And by the way, that video is titled, If People Who Sell Stuff Were Honest About Black Friday. It's a funny video, obviously. But a bit of happy news to kick the day off. Finally, Mark Denny's wrongful conviction for robbery, rape, was vacated. Robbery and rape, that is, was finally vacated after 30 years. And he says he has no animosity, and he really doesn't, which is pretty remarkable. And it's quite an astonishing story. I don't know if you heard about this, but maybe we can play the video. One of the best parts of the story, I think, was what acting Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez had to say. You know, I don't want to be a total downer. Things are crazy these days and getting crazier all the time. As we, you know, I've said a number of times that I think the World War II generation was a bulwark, a firewall, you know, and so as we lose more and more of them, the more we have problems, the more we drift from reality. And, you know, on that note, historically, you look at the Book of Judges, for example, as an example of how societies go through cycles. And that's not surprising, but things are changing so much now that it's pretty easy to see how we're being scientifically engineered and altered in cybernetic totalist fashion so that there's no way back out, so to speak. There's no way to go back through that loop after the cycle of realizing, oh, something bad's happening, which is kind of what I was getting at with the story's most provocative stories of the year yesterday, and I'll probably get into that again, but okay, so this is out in New York. This is the local CBS affiliate's coverage of the story. The headline: DA, man exonerated after 30 years in prison for robbery and rape. Go ahead, please.
the faith. Everyone keep the faith.
Mark Denny says he struggled to keep the faith that a system faulty enough to wrongly imprison him might one day send him home. His name finally cleared.
I appreciate everything that everyone has done.
Here he is in court where the judge and lawyers praised Denny for steadfastly maintaining his innocence over three long decades, even though making a false guilty plea would have meant an earlier release.
You know, I almost lost myself along the way.
But he knew he was never with the three men as they gang-raped a Kensington, Brooklyn Burger King restaurant worker in 1987, robbing the place and viciously attacking the teenager as she closed up the restaurant.
In spite of the fact that I was innocent, they couldn't see that.
Now 46 years old, he was 17 when he came under suspicion. Police wondered if the three suspects may have been joined by a fourth after the victim claimed she remembered an additional man. With no evidence linking him to the crime scene, detectives still added Denny to a lineup. And the victim pointed him out. It was a mistake, an unintentional one, said Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez, who says severe trauma likely clouded the victim's memory.
In this case, we learned a lot about identifications and wrongful identifications.
The three convicted rapists said although they knew Denny, he wasn't there. Denny does not appear to be resentful or angry that his youth was stolen from him by a flawed system.
Denny says next up for him, a meal with his mom and a conversation about the future.
His family stood by him.
This is a glorious moment.
Denny says his lowest point came when he learned his mother became financially ruined, raising money for the fight to overturn his conviction. Now home for the holidays. This son and mother's bond was never broken. But now steps must be taken to restart their interrupted lives. Outside Brooklyn Supreme Court, Dave Carlin, CBS 2 News.
Denny was exonerated with help from the Innocence Project. Denny says he'd like to try his hand at becoming a barber, maybe even one day owning his own shop.
So that's a cool story, but I thought Fox covered it better. But what's more important, I think, is, again, what the remarks of Eric Gonzalez, the acting Brooklyn District Attorney, and this is pretty cool, I think. Go ahead, please.
Putting the pieces of a puzzle together and figuring out what went wrong, and it takes a long time to undo something like this. His trial took maybe 2 days. And it takes 3 decades to undo it. But we are just so grateful that District Attorney Gonzalez, who really has shown such leadership and didn't flinch from the truth when it was presented to him by his staff, just knew what the right thing to do was and did it. And for that, we're very grateful.
What would you say about...
Thanks, Kim. Sorry.
This work takes a lot of time. There's a lot of questions about the length of time that these investigations take. But it's important that we get it right. It's important that when we free a person and we say that this person is innocent, that we have the evidence to show it. It's important for public trust. And I am very committed to making sure that we right these wrongs. People who've been in prison, we've let them down. We've let down the community. We've let down crime victims. And so today, I'm happy to give Mark Denny back his good name, give him back to his family, have him back in society so he can continue to live his life. And I pledge to continue doing this work and making sure that we get it right the first time. And the lessons we're learning in these cases that my conviction review unit brings out is that we're training our prosecutors on the front end so that we won't have this continuing in the future. So very committed to the work, and I thank all of you for coming.
So there you go. You know, it's not much. It's a drop in the pond. But hey, it's something. And this time of year, we need all the heartwarming news we can get. I think it's interesting, by the way, that on its website, Fox News has a good news section. And what's provocative is the good news is scant. I don't think that's because good news generally is scant. I think it's just not as broadly marketable as the daily train wrecks, unfortunately. So anyway, it's a happy story, the Mark Denny story, or it has a happy chapter at this point. I won't say ending, but happy chapter. I think it's pretty remarkable that he's not, he has no animosity, and he genuinely appears not to, which, you know, again, is pretty remarkable. It reminds me of a story I was witness to. A man who, I knew a man who was poisoned by doctors, essentially. And it wasn't intentional. They realized after the fact a treatment that they had given him actually caused a terminal illness. And so after the treatment, he only had about a year to live. For about 3 months, he was bitter. And then after that, he sort of made peace about it all, said he had no animosity with them. And I was at his wake. I was at a small, relatively small, non-denominational church in Spokane, Washington. And the service was incredible. Many people gave their lives to the Lord or recommitted themselves. And they played video footage of this guy talking. And I've talked about this story before, but, you know, him saying that he held no animosity toward the doctors, knowing that they had cut his life short, was pretty remarkable. So these kinds of stories are encouraging, I think, in the sense that there's hope that we can do better, that we can reach higher, and we can be better in spite of the insanity that we're plagued by. Even at times, in spite of the best interest or the best efforts of some folks to try to do the right thing. In this case, for example, if you examine the facts of the case of Mark Denny's wrongful conviction, it doesn't appear that anybody really tried to do him or anyone else harm specifically in trying to seek justice. Just one of those things that happens, unfortunately. And so it is unfortunate, but it's encouraging to see a happy chapter at this point. So the world needs more of those happy chapters. We all need more of those happy chapters these days. So hopefully that's a happy note going into the weekend. In other strange news, I thought it was interesting. A lot of things in the headlines these days, a lot of headlines. Man convicted of helping plot Texas attack files appeal. This is, of course, the latest installment in the Garland, Texas nonsense back on May 3rd of 2015. And the story is, well, let me give you the highlights from the story, and it just gets weirder. You know, there's kind of a focus on the FBI today, I think, maybe. Unbelievable. So from this story, Phoenix man convicted of helping two Islamic State followers in a 2015 attack on a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest, which is ridiculous. Who goes and shoots up a Draw Muhammad cartoon contest? Guys that are goaded by undercover FBI agents. In Texas, argues an appeal that prosecutors withheld evidence during his trial, including the fact that an undercover FBI agent was at the scene before the two attackers opened fire outside the anti-Islam event. Remember the 60 Minutes piece? What was the FBI doing there? A lawyer for 46-year-old Abdul Malik Abdul Karim argued in the appeal Wednesday that his client was denied a fair trial. because prosecutors turned over some of their evidence either after his trial had already started or had already concluded. That's helpful, isn't it? I'll give you the rest of the story when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. Again, this is the latest installment of FBI Nonsense, and there'll be an emphasis on that today because it's not a rogue agency. It's how agencies behave. This is what people need to understand. If we have any hope of getting our heads screwed on straight, it's this, but It doesn't look promising. Anyway, literally every word of this article is highlighted. My copy of this article, every word is highlighted, except for two words, investigators say. Because it's just so astonishing. And I posted a link to it in the chat area. Again, it's Fox News article posted yesterday. Man convicted of helping plot Texas attack files appeal. This is the story of Abdul Malik Abdul Karim and his connection to the Draw Muhammad contest shooting back on May 3rd of 2015 and the ridiculous nonsense that ensued. The shooting by Elgin Simpson and Nadir Sufi. And, you know, I've talked about this in the past, but again, and you should be listening with Trevor Aronson's words from his TED Talk just before this incident, a couple of months before this incident back in 2015 in mind. So continuing again, Karim's attorney argued his client was denied a fair trial because prosecutors turned over some of their evidence either after his trial had already started or after it had concluded. Remember that peculiar phrase, when the state creates rights and individuals against itself is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts and may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. Oh, the evidence came after your trial? Oops, sorry. Too bad. Actually, not sorry. FBI do what FBI do. Agencies do what agencies do. You know, this is how it works. They're not rogue. This is how they're designed. This is how it's designed to operate. The administrative fourth branch consolidates powers and functions and then does this. The appeal said his trial attorneys weren't given enough time, listen to this, to properly review thousands of pages of documents. Oh, well. However mistaken its exercise, Karim is serving a 30-year prison sentence for providing the guns. He didn't shoot anybody. He wasn't even there for providing the guns. He was also convicted of conspiring to provide support to the Islamic State. What? Conspiring to provide support. Thought crimes. Insidious, nefarious thought crimes. The friends, Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi, were armed with semi-automatic weapons, body armor, and had a copy of the Islamic State flag. Oh, you mean the Saudi flag? Oh, no, that one's green. But it has a sword on it. You know, even ISIS doesn't have a sword on their flag. When they arrived at the anti-Islam event in May 2015, they were killed in a shootout with law enforcement, of course, assigned to guard the event, right? Because we knew it was a setup. Investigators say, those two words, the only words that aren't highlighted in my copy, Karim, who wasn't at the contest, had trained Simpson and Sufi on how to use the weapons and watched jihadist videos with them. Karim testified that he didn't know his friends were going to attack the contest. But guess what? The agent did. The undercover agent's presence at the scene was revealed in court records several months after the trial concluded. The agent had exchanged social media messages with Simpson days before the attack, including goading Simpson, but I digress, into shooting up Texas, that is, and was sitting in a vehicle outside the Garland Convention Center just as events wrapped up at the contest. A dark sedan in front of the agent made an abrupt stop as the agent drove around the car. Two men got out and opened fire with military-style rifles. What did the agent do? Save the day. Oh, no. The agent drove away and was later stopped by police, according to court records. This is your FBI. Daniel Drake, Karim's attorney, said, "It is hard to understand how a document that discloses the FBI agent was at the scene of a terrorist attack and has been in contact with the terrorists days before the attack about the activities that caused the attack cannot have any bearing on the case. The agent's presence at the scene raised questions, you think, about whether the government should have been more forthcoming about the agent's role in the case, whether authorities could have done more to stop the attack, and, more importantly, what the FBI is doing creating terrorists." U.S. Attorney Office of Phoenix declined to comment information about the undercover officer was classified at the time of the trial. Of course it was. Stick around, we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Final note on this story. I mean, you know, it's just beyond ridiculous. It's beyond words. I can't find any superlative to express how outrageous and ridiculous this is. It is exactly what we've been talking about on this network. You know, guys like Lee Probst and others have been talking about this for decades. The fact that it is inquisitorial, ministerial, feudal law in this neo-feudal serfdom. The revival of the Roman civil law. Congratulations. Now it's about to get a whole lot worse. You know, I mean, imagine being snatched and grabbed on the sidewalk for something and then finding yourself, they're already broadcasting, you know, the judge can, or the magistrate can administer, proper administrative procedure from his chambers in a number of jurisdictions, so to speak, fictional and fictitious and imaginary as they may be. But, you know, you have people that are incarcerated and a magistrate that will pontificate from his chair in his chambers, and that is televised, if you follow me. Imagine this happening. And you know what? In the same way that Verizon's Human Ability Project, I saw that commercial yesterday and was disturbed. In the same way Verizon's talking about its Human Ability Project being able to bring the doctor to the patient on scene. You know, we have an accident. What if we could bring the doctor to the patient with technology? Well, in the same fashion, what if we could bring the public defender, which is crappy AI? You know, crappy low-level AI. It's inexpensive. It doesn't work very well, but we'll have AI represent this person, and maybe the magistrate will be AI too. It's fun. Here it comes. Brace yourself. And if you wonder, you know, as all of this robotic crap has happened this year, you will recall, you know, as Sophia gets writes a robot that is built to look sort of like a woman, but really not. Creepy, like Richie and others have said, more of an ex machina sort of looking thing than anything. But as Sophia gets more rights in Saudi Arabia than women at the Future Investment Initiative in Riyadh in November, and as artificial intelligence gets residence in Tokyo, which is ridiculous, you will recall that the code for robots has been written years ago. They've been working on it for years. What is the law for the interaction of people and robots? They've already been working on it, which, you know, speaks volumes, I would say. So anyway, concluding the ridiculous story, Phoenix man convicted of helping two Islamic State followers, the way Fox News reported it, man convicted of helping plot Texas attack files appeal. He didn't really help, though. But this is what happens in these prosecutions. It's lawfare. It's exactly what Project Salaam wrote about in their study, Inventing Terrorists, the Lawfare of Preemptive Prosecution. That's what it is. Lawfare, the use of the law as a weapon of war. It's really what it is. And it's not law, even. But I digress. That's a discussion for another day that's been had on many days, and we'll withhold for now. So the last thing, again, you know, in court documents filed late last year, prosecutors said the information about the undercover agent was classified at the time of the trial. How convenient. Oops. Kind of important, as Kareem's attorney Daniel Drake pointed out. A lower court judge who denied an earlier request for a new trial had said Simpson didn't show that he wanted to attack the contest during his social media exchanges with the undercover agent, which brings me back to the video that we played of Dan Dix talking about the technology. You know, Richie from Boston just did another video talking about some of the patents, referring to Alan Watts' talks on that. You know, my CIA friend doesn't talk about the CIA, but he says don't watch television. And TrueStream Media's coverage of the same information, you know, patents that are designed to manipulate and alter your physiology, your psychology, your emotions. And, you know, when you read a story about an Uber driver who says the app told me to kill people. People think, oh, man, that guy's disturbed. Go back in the historical record. Just because you don't know doesn't mean that it's magic. Again, Clark's third law applies. Only because of your ignorance. And at this point, it's hard to argue it's not willful ignorance. Do you not realize that the ability exists to mess with people's everything? Physiology, psychology. This is a known fact for decades now. Established, incontrovertible, irrefutable. And so, you know, concluding this article, Simpson didn't show that he wanted to attack the contest during his social media exchanges, but he had these devices, right? And he was being goaded by the FBI agent, right? It seems this is another instance of the FBI orchestrating a terror plot and making sure it gets pulled off and showing up at the scene to make sure that it goes. Why was the agent there? Did he have technology that was, you know, directed energy type weapon technology? Was he there to make sure that Simpson and Sufi got their programming on location and it doesn't leave a trace? There's no trace evidence. What did the agent have in his car when he got pulled over? Again, I don't understand reading stories like this, why the FBI isn't suspect number one in everything. How is it possible, when you look at all of the collusion and conspiring and the backroom dealing that is pretty obvious, I mean, it's painfully obvious that has gone on in the, well, that went on in the run-up to the 2016 election, presidential election, and beyond. You know, it's just crazy. If anyone was receiving bribes from Russia, you know, Donald Trump has a lot more funny money, FRNs, stacked up than the Clinton Crime Syndicate, to my understanding. So if anyone was, you know, there were the stories that, you know, after the Clintons left the White House, they couldn't run any more quid pro quo schemes. They couldn't sell influence. They couldn't peddle influence anymore. So, you know, that'd find some way to make a buck. Child trafficking wasn't paying quite as well as it should, and so, or it used to, and so, you know, what do? So if anyone had a motive to receive 500 grand from Russians like Bill Clinton did, I'm not aware of Donald Trump receiving money to speak in Russia, in his, directly in his pocket. But Bill Clinton did, which does not mean that there are sides. There are no sides. It's the same game, same team. It's WWF nonsense. It's Ned Beatty's, you know, Senator Charles Meacham's remark on the mountaintop, up on the snowy mountaintop in Shooter. There are no sides. There are no Democrats, Republicans, no Sunnis and Shiites. There are only haves and have-nots. That's what's really going on. Donald and Hillary were buddies, and Bill, before all of this nonsense. I think, you know, just a quick note on that. Last night's Hannity broadcast, hosted by Kimberly Guilfoyle, was interesting. And if you watch the segment, I would love to play it, but we don't have time. The segment with Tom Fitton and Greg Jarrett is great. I really appreciate Greg Jarrett's commentary, and you know, Tom Fitton's for that matter too. What they're doing at Judicial Watch, I don't know how they do it. You know, all I can think is that it's the CNP side of the contrived, promulgated, fomented conflict And so, you know, where do they get the resources to make all of these FOIA requests and to file all of these lawsuits? And of course, that leads me to the Glasnost effect. Look at what's happening. Everything is corrupt. Everywhere is corrupt. And so there was an article that I saw recently, another, you know, kind of shoring up of my suspicion for years now that, like, ZBIG bragged, you know, hey, we gave Russia her Vietnam War, the Soviets their Vietnam War. Maybe the Soviets are giving us our Glasnost. Because remember, Glasnost was the death knell of the Soviet Union. It was the precursor to the 1991 collapse. And we see all of this widespread corruption, the double-edged sword of openness and transparency. No, it's good to know what's going on. But again, back to Alan Watt and the clip that Richie included in his video about the stuff that I mentioned previously. You know, Alan Watt said if we were really paying attention, if this really was anything like what we were raised to presume and believe it is, this country, this government, so-called, not just a rogue political regime, then we would each take our turn every day, or excuse me, every year. We would each take our turn to go and see for ourselves in Bill Cooper fashion. To go see with our own eyes and make sure that the wool wasn't getting pulled over. We would take our, you know, whatever you call it, public service day or whatever, or week or whatever, each year. Imagine if a large contingent of folks, especially constituents, where do you live, Congressman? Where do you live, Senator? Where do you live, Judge? Where do you live, administrative people? And thousands started showing up, saying, okay, we want the books opened. We'd like to see what's going on here. But that doesn't happen, does it? No, because, you know, it's Sunday. I mean, nobody's there. It's Sunday. Football's on. It's Saturday. Football's on. Sunday. Football's on. We're busy. It's Monday. You know, sure, people are working, but football's on again. It's Thursday. Football's on again. We're busy. We have, you know, more important things to do than to make sure that our lives are not destroyed by ne'er-do-wells who influence our allegedly elected public serpents, as Bill in Idaho used to say. And really, that's what happens. They do become public serpents. I've seen it personally. I've seen good people get corrupted in Ponerology fashion, in Lucifer effect fashion. I don't know if you've seen it, but I have literally seen people who go from state level representatives to Capitol Hill, and within months, suddenly they're a different person. Saying things. You listen to the average state representative and compare that to what you're hearing on Capitol Hill, it's a different language. You know it. I know it. It's a different language. They speak in terms that on Capitol Hill that don't really say anything, mean anything, get to anything, amount to anything. You know it. I know it. Anyway, I digress. So the segment, Tom Fitton, Greg Jarrett on yesterday's Hannity 1221, hosted by Kimberly Guilfoyle, is a good segment, I would say, to understand really what the implications are. I think Greg Jarrett does a good job of saying, look, there's criminality here. The Clintons appear to have broken laws, including money laundering, wire fraud, mail fraud, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what's going to come of that? You know, nothing, as usual. The Fox Business segment yesterday, you can find on YouTube. The YouTube video clip, Mueller investigation is a train wreck of misconduct, Judicial Watch director, featuring the interview of Judicial Watch's director of investigations and research, is an interesting video too. Chris Farrell, speaking of Greg Jarrett on Fox Business, actually interviewing or talking to Chris Farrell. Same thing. Good segment. Greg Jarrett doing what he does. There's criminality here. There is. What's going to come of it? You know, again, if the American people showed up and said, look, this is what's going to happen right now, then things might change. But then there'd probably be some catastrophic event. Look over there. You know, 1,000 people march on DC this week and 1,000 more next week and 1,000 more. And guess what? Suddenly the bird flu hits 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Oops. Ugh, but I digress. Anyway, speaking of the FBI and the latest round of nonsense in Las Vegas, Las Vegas Review-Journal interviewed special agent in charge Aaron Rouse in Las Vegas, and that guy is a robot, just like all the other robots. Speaking of ponderology, talk more about all this nonsense when we come back. Stick around, more after this break.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Thank you. video camera converts the picture into a television signal.
Welcome back. Let's see. You know what? We'll play this clip real quick. Speaking of FBI Special Agent Aaron Rouse, you know, again, nothing new, nothing to see here. Basically, is all we get out of this. If that video is ready, feel free to play that. Yeah, go ahead, please.
New tonight from the Las Vegas shooting investigation, the coroner just releasing its official determination that the shooter, Stephen Craig Paddock, killed himself by shooting himself in the head. Since the October 1st concert massacre in Las Vegas, the FBI has interviewed more than 400 people worldwide, but only the investigators know if we're any closer to figuring out the gunman's motive. Special Agent in Charge Aaron Rouse doing a rare interview, and Trace Gallagher has that. He joins us now live. Trace?
Shannon, the FBI says getting a report like this done in 1 year is, quote, light speed. But certainly for the victims and their families, it's an awfully long time to wait for answers. And when it comes to the ongoing and unanswered question of motive, why Stephen Paddock opened fire, killing 58, injuring more than 500 before turning the gun on himself, the FBI says it may never know. The special agent in charge of the investigation, Aaron Rouse, told the Las Vegas Review-Journal the FBI has interviewed more than 400 people worldwide who had some connection to Stephen Paddock. The feds are looking for information on everything from his history to his psychological and sociological makeup. The FBI has also brought in some 400 specialists to help catalog evidence. For example, the concert venue itself, where most of the victims were shot, took 14 days to document. It took another 13 days to document the gunman's hotel suite on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay. On top of that, federal agents have followed 1,500 leads and collected 22,000 hours of videotape. So far, this is what the FBI can say for sure. Listen.
To this date, there is no affiliation. To this date, there is no ideology that's been attributed, and to this date there is no co-conspirators or other people that were involved with foreknowledge of this event. Does that mean we stop looking? No, I still have evidence being reviewed at the FBI laboratory, and as I mentioned, a lot of it.
He went on to say the goal of the investigation is to be 100% accurate, and that takes time. The FBI has not shed any light on the confusing and contradictory timeline. Like, how long was it from when Stephen Paddock opened fire to when Mandalay Bay made the first call to police? And how long did it take police to respond to the hotel and make their way to the 32nd floor? Several news organizations have filed lawsuits trying to get the 911 tapes released. Shannon.
Thank you very much, Trace.
So nothing to see there. Fun, fantastic, you know, just absolutely no information. And it's pretty crazy. The coroner releases a report that says all 58 people killed during the massacre were died of gunshot wounds. Clark County Coroner John Rainman Fudenberg says, yeah, they all died of gunshots. Yeah, gunshots. I mean, this is just a comedy of errors. FBI has interviewed more than 400 people. Great, 500 were injured. Anybody interview any of them, especially with the conflicting reports at the scene? Go watch Jake Morfonius's video series. I forget what he's at. I think he's over 60 now in his Las Vegas series. And there are – how is it that Jake Morfonius, with no resources, virtually nothing, can – and on the other side of the country can mostly can do more work and better investigative work than the FBI? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. So they've interviewed more than 400 people around the world. 500 people were injured. Gosh, I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but remember the roadie, the stagehand? who was working there and said they had us in these areas and then they just let us go the next morning, didn't ask for anybody's name or anything.